One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey listeners, let's take a moment for a shout out to our sponsor, Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for creators to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create an awesome website, connect with your audience, and sell anything all in one place, all on your terms. Even if you don't know where to start with creating a website, Squarespace has you covered with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally created layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people. Flexible payment options make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So, ready to get started? Head over to squarespace.com/gamescoop for a free trial. And when it's showtime, use our special promo code GAMESCOOP to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Now, let's dive back into GAMESCOOP. Come get some. Beware, I live.
IGN GAMESCOOP.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GAMESCOOP, a special exclusive edition of GAMESCOOP. Oh. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me today, Justin Davis,
Scoop.
Vince Ingenito, Brian Altano.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. You for asking.
What is this exclusive to?
Well, I didn't plan this, but every game we're going to talk about is an exclusive for its console today. This is a happy accident. So we're going to talk about PlayStation 4 exclusives and Xbox One exclusive, but then today, obviously, there's a lot of Nintendo news, and all these games are exclusive to Nintendo systems.
Yeah, sure. Big Nintendo dropping the news bombs today.
Yeah, they had their first Nintendo Direct presentation of 2015.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lots of good news. Maybe a good place to start is with the new 3DS XL, an announcement which prompted Vince to say, what again? What?
I don't think I can say that on camera.
Very angry about it, to summarize.
Yeah, I wasn't super thrilled. Well, why don't you give people the news first, then we can talk about what it means.
Release date for North America and Europe, February 13th. The new 3DS XL is the only one coming to North America. The smaller, regular new 3DS is also coming to Europe.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing.
They made my decision for me, and I was on the fence of which one of these new models I wanted to upgrade to. I liked the idea of the faceplates, and I also don't want to shrink down the 3DS XL that I've been playing for a while now. And Nintendo was just like, no, we made the decision for you. Here you go. You're going big.
Is the computer aware we're playing? There it is. There's the B-roll.
You talk to it like it's a sentient being.
Computer, play B-roll.
$200 comes in new red and new black.
Yeah.
New 3DS is the new black.
What does new black mean? Can you explain this to me, Altano? Translate the Nintendo.
Wait, hold on. Why
would that be my job?
You think new red makes sense, but because new black doesn't make sense?
Yeah, because I assume that the new red is like a different shade of red, but the black I can't understand. But
did you know that orange is the new black?
Oh, God. It happened. The landmine that was inevitable.
Yep.
So it has so you're seeing it right now on the screen. I think it's exciting. I'm a big Amiibo guy. Yep. I've turned around on it. I'm really into the Amiibos. And the new 3DS, this is the only one that has the NFC reader in it. So if you have an old 3DS, you will not be able to get the Amiibo functionality unless they said they were going to sell maybe a little dongle that would let the old ones read the Amiibos.
To me, it's very in line with it. So as a video game connoisseur, I think that this is something that I would be angry at just looking at the hardware market of the traditional ways that video game hardware is released. As somebody who buys a new Apple iPhone every 2 years, this is totally in line with that strategy.
Yes.
This is sort of the iPhone 5 or the 4S Nintendo 3DS releases. We've seen so many of them in a row, and this is not reinventing the wheel. This is not the 6 Plus or something like a gigantic overhaul. This is like minor hardware and software is tweaks is making this thing a little faster, a little more powerful. The C-Stick's pretty cool. I spent the entire morning playing with the new Nintendo 3DS at an event.
So the C-Stick feels good being above the 4 face buttons?
Yeah.
It's a strange place.
So weird, yeah.
Well, so I mean,
I trust you. Looking at it.
Here's the thing: like, games are being designed around it, and not the other way.
Sure.
So it's not like Call of Duty is being ported to the system with this stick in mind. But for subtle camera control in Majora's Mask or Monster Hunter or Xenoblade, I think it works. You know, I think it's serviceable. I've tried it for Smash moves in Smash Brothers, and I think that works fine there too. It's not that twin stick shooter dedicated stick that you want it to be.
Yeah.
But I think on a handheld, I think it works pretty well.
It's the thing's $199.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
$200.
It's a lot. Yeah. It is a lot. And the reason I'm so frustrated about it, and I'm not gonna get as frustrated as I got before the show started, sure. But the reason it bothers me, you know, kind of to your point, Brian, where that's what we're seeing is something a little bit more in line with what the mobile market does. And you know, in the game space, usually if we're buying a new piece of hardware or if we have to buy a new piece of hardware to play certain exclusive games, like with Xenosaga is going to be only playable with the new 3DS. Mm-hmm. Usually,
Xenoblade Chronicles.
I'm sorry, Xenoblade 3D. Chronicles. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
We know.
So typically when you're doing that, it's also coming along with the idea that this new piece of hardware is also extraordinarily more powerful. Things that you've never really seen do before. I'm saying in the game space, that's what we're used to.
Yeah, but that's not true. So in every Nintendo handheld, there was a Game Boy Color, right? Like, Nintendo has always done this with their handhelds. Like, there's a history of them releasing incremental upgrades, including games that were only exclusive to the new. Like, there were some Game Boy games that, and I think this is what we're going to see with the 3DS. I think the Game Boy Color is the parallel, in my opinion. Mm. There are games that worked on old Game Boys and then would have new stuff on the Game Boy Color.
You know,
the Color Dungeon and Link to the Past, for example. And then there were a few games that were exclusive to the Game Boy Color, but not a ton. And that's what I think the new 3DS is going to be.
Yeah.
Like, look, if you have the new one, you'll get some new particle effects. The game will look a little bit better. And here are a small handful of games that only play on this new piece of hardware.
So I pre-ordered mine. I'm excited for it. I buy every new Nintendo handheld release. That's the good. I like it. I'll just pile through the bad right now to save you the trouble. The console only comes in one size, which is the XL. So you can't buy the smaller version.
Yeah.
We've been seeing stuff about the faceplates in Japan and Europe and Australia. Literally the rest of the world has what we're not getting. That's a disappointment. The two launch colors of black and red, or new black, new red, they're good, they're okay, but classic Nintendo, there's always a very limited supply of an amount of what colors you can get at launch. And then months later, there's the Zelda ones and the other ones.
You know? I might have just understood new black. Now, am I crazy, or is the 3DS not available in black?
What?
The 3DS.
The current 3DS?
Yeah.
Like the 3DS XL?
Yeah.
That we've all had for a while?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is in black?
Yes, because I
had to buy a blue one at launch because there was no black.
3DSs are basically, they're these hosts that I, as a parasite, move from unit to unit. So I actually had the black one, then moved to the Zelda one.
Okay.
So to correct myself, there's a few special editions at launch. There's a Monster Hunter one. Zelda one, the Majora's Mask one.
And they come bundled with a game, of course, right?
Nope.
So this is what you were
I'm just asking questions here.
It does in Europe.
Yeah.
It does in Europe.
So
let's continue. Let's continue to plow through the gripes then. Here's what else it doesn't come with.
An AC adapter.
So if you don't own a Nintendo 3DS, you've never bought one before. Now, I always think of them, they're like, it's this train that keeps going. You can get on whenever you want, right? When did you get on? Never. Have you ever bought a 3DS?
Oh, no, I bought a couple of 3DS.
Is this grammar scoop?
Vince is sassy today.
I have a 3DS.
Which one?
3DS. I have the regular,
The original.
Yeah, the original.
Oh, that's
yeah.
why you hate Nintendo no. so much. That thing's garbage.
No, actually, I prefer the original 3DS to all the models that have come. Oh, that
the
have come
XL's
since
so good.
Do you prefer?
I hate XL.
Do you prefer its inferior screen size and low capacity battery life?
I actually, what I prefer about it is the increased resolution and pixel density because it's not this big honk off screen that hasn't been upscaled in terms of its number of pixels.
Okay. I cannot imagine playing Smash 3DS on the original.
And I can't imagine playing on an XL screen that literally looks like you took like a 480 by 40 image and blew it up. I can't possibly.
So anyway, hold on to your chargers because the new ones don't come with them. And this presents an issue for people who like to trade in their system and upgrade because a lot of places like Amazon and GameStop consider a complete system as having the charger. So if you take your old 3DS XL, which I have, and my charger, which I have, and I put them together in a box and I send them to Amazon, and I get the new system in return, you know, by paying a couple, $100 or so. Mm. Yeah. It doesn't come with a charger, so I have to make a separate purchase now to get that.
Not including the AC adapter. It's a really baffling decision.
Yeah. Do we know how much they're selling it for? Separately?
No.
I don't know what it officially goes for, but I do know that we're so deep in the game now that there's plenty of alternatives that are cheap, and there's third-party ones. I prefer one that's actually a USB charger that will just plug into any USB device.
So when I originally heard that it didn't come with the AC adapter, I had no problem with it because I buy, you know, like I had a Game Boy Advance, and I got an SP, and I had a DS, then I got a DS Lite, and like that's just, you know, and then I end up with all these AC adapters. I have them all over my apartment. I'm like, I don't need all these. What am I doing with all these? Same as I have a million, like, iPhone cables because every device I get comes with one. But the more I thought about it, the trading in is a big problem.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people might, you know, throw all their cables and all their stuff and then get the new console for, you know, $100 cheaper or whatever. You can't do that. And it makes it really hard for people that are just jumping in. Like, I don't have a 3DS. Now's the perfect time to get one. Oh, it's actually like $30 more expensive than I thought it was because I need this extra cable that doesn't come with it. Like,
it's like a tax for being a new customer.
A little bit. I think it's probably a mistake. I think it probably should have come with an AC.
My main concern about this, aside from that, which is obviously a big one, is that this continues Nintendo's very, very weird, confusing path of naming things.
The new and 3DS family.
I mean, this has now become a very serious problem that if you work at a retail store and somebody comes in and they ask you if they can buy something with a Nintendo name on it, that man should get a royalty because he's going to have to stand there and explain things for 20 minutes. You've got the new Nintendo 3DS, right? Which is the new Nintendo 3DS XL, not to be confused with the Nintendo 3DS XL, which is old, not new. Both of them play new Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Then there's the Nintendo 2DS, which only plays Nintendo 3DS games in 2D, but does not play the special new Nintendo 3DS only games, which will not play on the old Nintendo 3DS XL or regular. Then there's the DSi, the DSi XL, and all the other stuff. It just...
So don't worry, if you got a 2DS, don't worry, it plays all the 3DS games, except for these new 3DS games. It doesn't play those.
It doesn't play those, and it doesn't play any of them in 3D, only 2D.
Yeah.
Speaking of those new 3DS games, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D is coming April 2nd.
Yep.
So I actually didn't play that game, so I look forward to playing that one.
Yeah, except that's pretty cool.
It's supposed to be the new console.
Well, get the new one. But that's supposed to be an excellent JRPG.
Yeah,
very highly regarded.
One of the best of recent memory, for sure.
They announced Wave 4 of Amiibos are coming this spring. They include Smash Brothers characters, including Wario, Pac-Man, Ness, Charizard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that exciting for you, Smash fans?
For
and
sure.
Amiibo fans, you guys are like...
It is.
Yeah, I mean, I
like digging all the Pokemon, fans. But I have to spend money for each new one that I get.
That sounds great.
It's wonderful. No, I mean, the thing about Amiibos is I'm like Jose and Brian in that I'm getting every Amiibo now. That's it. I'm on board. Yeah. I'm getting them all. But what makes me different than those two is you guys were like, yeah, this is great. Whereas I had this weird, like I blacked out and ordered them all. Yep. And then was like, what have I done?
It was interesting, working with you through all that because you went from being like, no, to being like, like cautiously
I really like Pit, so I'll get him. Yeah. I'm a big Captain
So I always saw, I saw this as like, Amiibos are really cool because, or Amiibo, it's like Lego. There's no plural. Because that would be just too easy.
Yeah.
It's something that's like, as a kid who grew up playing Nintendo games, to have like these really well-made figurine representations of characters that I grew up with. Like, I never got a Little Mac figurine growing up. They didn't make those. Or Pit from Kid Icarus. Like, I didn't have any of those things, and they're really cool to kind of see them as part of the set. Now, it does have that addictive nature of, like, I bought a few, and then I'm like, oh, I might as well get the whole set. Yeah. But now, and you're probably going to get to it next, the Mario Party set of Amiibo.
I was actually going to skip that one.
Okay,
if you want to talk about
let's not. By all means,
this is where our addiction is truly put to the test.
There's a crossroads.
Yeah, because now there's a new set, and now there are some doubles from the original set where Mario, instead of just doing his Smash Brothers pose of throwing a fireball, he's standing there and he's got his arm in the air.
There's a second Mario for Mario Party, a second Mario, a second Peach, a second Bowser that are in a different pose than their Smash Brothers, and so that's the crossroads. That's the crossroads David's I reached today.
So will these new figures not work with other game?
They do. Like the Mario, they're the same functionality. If you set them on, in a game, they unlock all the same stuff. It's like the same Mario. And so I had to decide. Fuck it. All right, I'm getting every amiibo. I'm doing it. But now there's two Marios.
And that's a problem.
I can't do it.
And so there's one Toad, right? And Toad's in this other set, but he's not in Smash Brothers. So if you want Toad as part of your collective, you need to get one of the...
So that's why you and I tweeted about this today. Yeah. And that's my compromise. That's a compromise I've made, is I'm not going to rebuy the same character in a new pose, but I will buy a new character. Like, I'll buy a Mario Party amiibo if there's not a Smash Brothers.
Which, you know what this sounds like? It sounds like when people go, I only smoke when I drink.
Yeah. and then the question becomes, so I'm only buying one Mario. I got Mario. I'm not buying more Marios. But what happens when there's, like, Raccoon Mario? Then I'm like, does he count as new...
And when they put out Cat Mario, you gotta have Cat Mario. What are you gonna do, not have Cat Mario?
It's all about when they release the Green Boot amiibo in Wave 20.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, my daughter's got a college fund, but she won't notice the missing $15. I got to get that green boot.
Yep. And isn't there something funky going on where if you try to use your amiibo, your Mario amiibo from Smash, and you try to use it in Mario Party 10?
No, they're all the same. I mean, I don't know that they've officially...
Well, they only actually hold the data for one game at a time, so you have to wipe the data.
Oh, is that true?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but you can use it as... So some games let you unlock things. So if I took the Mario amiibo and put it down in Mario Party, it'd be like, hey, cool. Great.
Then you get your stuff.
But if that game has some sort of like this thing where you have to build up a character Smash Brothers, I have to wipe my level 50 Smash Brothers amiibo and start from scratch over here. Oh. Or buy two, or buy 20, or buy 100.
You mentioned Toad, right? Yeah. So there's amiibo support coming to Captain Toad.
Yeah.
Did we talk about this already? Which I played a lot of over the break and is awesome.
Yeah, great
love,
game, right?
Love that game. Amiibo support is coming March 20th.
Uh-huh.
That adds a hidden character, unlocks a hidden character named Pixel Toad. We have to find through a game of hide and seek.
Love it.
They did not show us footage because I imagine they want it to be like a secret. Yeah. Like they
the
want
Toad
to
Amiibo is really cute. I mean, there's a lot of shame involved in being an Amiibo. because you can justify, like, yeah, the Toad's cute. I want him. And I like, I like Pikachu. He's cute. I want him. I want the Donkey Kong. But you cannot justify, like, Wii Fit Trainer.
No one on planet Earth
is like, I'm a fan of this character as a Nintendo fan. The only reason to own that character is just to be like a sad man.
It's
like,
a badge. Yeah. I am totally pathetic.
It's the only reason I have this. Now there's a woman on my shelf at home doing an impossibly difficult yoga pose, rubbing it into my face that I haven't been in the gym in years.
Yeah. I know. My wife also doesn't know that I've bought all these amiibos.
You just admitted it on camera.
Well, I don't think
no one will see this.
Yeah. We can blur your face.
I don't think she's a big GameScoop fan.
this is just little show.
But yeah, there are some concerns with this, that the Captain Toad stuff might be the first time they're actually sort of paywalling DLC behind an amiibo instead of it just being additive content. I did hear that there's like there might be new levels or stages or something like that. So
interesting.
We'll see how that goes. I'm all for like buying one figure and using it in 10 different games because I think you get a lot of mileage. Whereas if you just buy horse armor DLC that only works for horse armor games.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Toys Come to Life is a huge thing, thanks to Skylanders and Disney Infinity. And there's pros and cons to the way that each company is doing it. I think I prefer Nintendo's approach where you get one figure and then it does something in like 8 different games. That's super rad.
Mm. They also announced Amiibo Unlock... Fire Emblem characters. It doesn't sound right to say it that way.
Yeah.
Amiibo will unlock Fire Emblem characters in the upcoming codename Steam.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's the first time we've actually seen them.
They're reprinting one.
Yeah, they're reprinting Marth, who is rare.
He's the rarest one.
He's the rarest one, right?
Yeah.
And when you scan them into the game, it recreates them in the game's art style, which is like this kind of like chunky cel-shaded look.
Yeah.
So it's really cool because you get to like see your figurine manifest on... You're on your 3DS looking very different than it does in real life.
Yeah, it's great. And they also announced, Damon, I don't know if you're getting to this, but they announced a new Fire Emblem.
The new Fire Emblem game, yeah.
That was which be doesn't be have a title.
The next thing, which is not what you're seeing here. This is Fire Emblem characters being unlocked in Codename Steam.
Yep.
Which I guess kind of makes sense because it's a turn-based strategy game, much like Fire Emblem.
Well, and they're both intelligent systems. It's the same same dev. So super excited about Fire Emblem. Part of me is kind of sad that it's not Advance Wars.
Yeah,
they used to alternate.
But,
me too.
I mean, yeah.
Advance Wars is...
I agree, but the last Fire Emblem was such a big hit.
It was I think it was the best-selling Fire Emblem ever in the history of the franchise.
I would imagine so.
And whereas Advance Wars had been on decline, but I'm a big Advance Wars fanboy. I just hope it's not gone forever.
Yeah, me too.
I get really bummed about that. You know, I think about like some of their dormant franchises and how there's some that we see all the time, and then there's others like Advance Wars where we haven't seen it for...
I'm not even sure they're a support trophy. No, there is. There's the tanks. There is an Advance Wars support trophy.
In Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you watch the Fire Emblem trailer?
No, I didn't.
I mean, it looks cool. It doesn't tell us a lot about it. It looks very similar to the last game when they eventually get to gameplay. But they do show larger characters, which might be cool. Like, larger than, like, you know, like giant, like, golems or something. Like this guy.
They take up more than, they'll probably take up more than one grid.
One more square.
And Damon, this game doesn't have a title yet, right?
Nope, it's just a new Fire Emblem that's coming to 3DS. Doesn't have a title or release date.
It doesn't. It'll be Dawn of Radiance. Or
it's actually
Radiant
called
Dawn.
It's new Super Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
It only works on the new 3DS.
That's actually a really... haven't seen this trailer.
They didn't announce that, but I wouldn't be surprised, right?
That trailer was very un-Nintendo-like when I saw that CG at the beginning, in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wow, you know, they're clearly positioning this franchise as, you know, something different.
But here you go. This looks...
So this is... I like this sort of like... this Dojo Samurai art style.
Yeah, I'm getting sort of like more of an Asian flair to this.
Yeah,
game.
Totally. I guess they got away from the sort of fantasy world a little bit. I mean, obviously this is still fantastical, but...
Yeah, as you say, as a woman's riding a Pegasus.
Do they still not have feet? No, it looks like they do. They have feet.
Feet confirmed.
Feet confirmed.
With the power of the new 3DS.
Exclusive.
That's right. That's where all the extra hardware is going. Right into the feet. They used to just have little triangular posts.
Yeah, they did.
That they called really legs. Nice.
So that was all the 3DS and new 3DS news. As for Wii U, a producer for Tekken, the Tekken fighting series, revealed a free-to-download Wii U game called Project Treasure. It's a code name.
Yeah.
So I think it's curious they use the term free-to-download instead of free-to-play.
Yeah. I mean, it's
you can download it for free.
But there's a guy at the title screen who's like, give me your money.
Yeah.
That's as far as you can get. Yeah, we don't actually know a lot about it.
That's the guy
right?
After you've played the game for a few hours says, look, give me your money.
Yeah. He's always there.
Yeah, I don't think we know that much about the actual game itself.
And I'm pretty sure that's just posturing, right? I think in a lot of ways developers and publishers have started to realize that for better or for worse, whether it's fair or not, the term free-to-play has started to become kind of a dirty word for console gamers anyway, in a lot of ways.
I think it's long been a dirty word.
Well, sure. I also think free-to-play, I mean, it's misleading, right? Like, free-to-play means something different than what those actual words mean. Like,
right.
It should be free-to-download is accurate. Like, it's more truthful.
Right.
Like, and that's why I've always liked freemium. Like, that's how I don't use the term free-to-play.
The game's supposed to be a four-player cooperative action game, and they said any Nintendo Network user can play as long as your system is connected to the internet. So it's an online-only game.
Well, we don't even know, like, genre or anything, right? Like, I'm assuming, like, what I'm picturing in my head is, like, a little bit of a more casual Diablo. But I have no idea whether it's like that or not.
He hopes we'll look forward to it. Please look forward to E3.
Please be excited.
Please be excited for E3.
Please wear sunglasses indoors.
Yeah, no release date for that one. But out today, a game that has its release date today is Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
On the Wii U.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I have mixed feelings about.
Yes, I'm right there with you.
On one hand, I'm very interested in playing this game because I missed it on Wii U because it came out in a time when I was just, you know what, Wii, I'm just so done.
Yeah.
Done with the Wii.
Yep.
But the game's supposed to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Great.
So I'd love to play it again. But it's not like an HD remake.
That's, and this
so what's it going to look like on my giant TV?
That's the point to clarify. It's not it's the exact Wii version. It's as if you stuck the Wii disc into your Wii U and played the game. They didn't make any changes or updates at all, including
This is a 480p game.
Yep.
It's an excellent 480p
game.
It's one of the best 480p games of all time. But this is really no different than just putting the disc in and playing it. But instead of booting in Wii mode...
Right,
you can boot directly from the Wii U menu. So this is not actually...
It's not emulated.
It's not emulated. It's
just
actually,
needs to switch over to that side.
But what... Can I play it on my gamepad?
Well,
no.
Okay. Glad you asked. See, this is where, like, if you work at a GameStop, they should send you money because you have to explain all this stuff.
You can only use the gamepad for, because there's other games coming that you haven't announced yet, but you can only use the gamepad for games that supported the classic controller. And then the gamepad takes over what you how you
now,
can use the classic
Galaxy controller. Mostly uses traditional 3D Mario controls, but it also uses the Wii pointer for Yoshi and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. And you had to shake to do the spin jump.
Which was just like, it's very subtle things, and it probably mostly could be mapped to a dual joystick game.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to bother doing that? So they're putting the game out. The good thing is that they're $20, and in their introductory week, they're only $10.
Dude, $10 is great.
$10 is an insane deal for that game. And I think for a lot of people, it's a good way to catch up on games that they don't feel like hunting down, or if you can't find the disc.
Sure. Well, and what I think you're going to get to in a minute is Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Super Mario Galaxy 2 is out today. Punch-Out comes out next week.
Yep.
And then Metroid Prime Trilogy comes out the week after that.
So Metroid Prime Trilogy is one of those games where I missed Prime 3, and I wanted to play Prime 1 and 2 with pointer controls. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'll pick up that game on eBay. And like, it's just one of those games that's incredibly rare. And it's $100 to $150 to get a copy of that.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. It was a low disc run print, and really the only way to pay that was either through emulation or through dealing with somebody on eBay. So now if you can get it for $10 for three games, I mean that's an awesome deal.
It's a lot like Suikoden 2, which is another game that you had to spend $200, and that was the only way to play that game, and then they released it on PSN for $10.
But yeah, I'm very torn on this because to me this delays the hopefully dream inevitable release of Super Mario Galaxy and Galaxy 2 HD.
Right.
That pushes that down the line by a couple more years because I don't see the purpose in putting that game out today in standard definition for $10 and getting a bunch of people to buy it and then 6 months from now being like, I mean, by no means will this game come out in HD this year. That just won't happen. But I've been asking for a long time. Yeah. Let's get games like Mario 64. Let's get Mario Galaxy. Let's get HD ports of these games on the Wii U.
We're doing a feature on the games that most need or we most want to have an HD re-release on this console. And spoilers, like Mario Galaxy 1 and 2 are the number one game that most need an HD remake. I mean, but it's not trivial to do, right? Because those assets don't exist in HD.
In that resolution.
Like they would have to redo the entire game from scratch, and it's like, well, so okay. Like,
well, so I mean, we don't talk about emulation too much on IGN because you know we obviously don't want to promote that kind of stuff. But I have seen Dolphin emulators running Mario Galaxy in HD, and it does look really good natively. And I think without like a true overhaul, I would have at the very least like something like that.
Sure, let's you know give it an HD pass. Like, yeah, up-res it.
Yeah,
yeah. Do anything because right now those games are going to be stuck in the same situation that honestly, when I had my Wii hooked up to my screen, I mean like that shock of like you're talking about of seeing you know Galaxy 2 on your big screen LCD, you know, and it's not up-res at all. That's what some people's lives have been with the Wii from day one. Exactly. That's literally what they've been doing. The only way I've ever experienced, you know, Galaxy, as great as it is 480p blown up on a 1080p screen. And it's just like, as beautiful as the art is, it's just like, I can't watch this.
The gameplay's so good, the music's so good, but it's blurry.
Yeah, like, I specifically remember getting Twilight Princess on the launch day and plugging it in and being like, ooh. And then going immediately online and hunting down component cables and then waiting 10 days and they came in and I hooked them up and I was like, ooh.
That's not an improvement.
Yeah, there's just not a lot you can do with that. Yeah,
I mean, I play a lot of indie games, play a lot of handheld games. Like, I'm not a graphics whore at all, but it affected the amount of fun I had.
Yeah,
with that
absolutely.
Game. Like, it was.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we had Wind Waker HD. Like, that proves that they know that there's a possibility that when you do that, damn, it looks good.
Yeah.
And
they
know that, and they're there sitting there analyzing that, but that's not what we're getting. So I guess the $10 makes it easier, but I want that game in HD.
Did they announce all price? Are they all going to be? So it's $10 launch week, so they're all $20. Oh, man.
Yeah.
$20 for Metroid Prime Trilogy. If anyone out there,
it'll actually be $10 its first week.
That is absolutely insane.
And I'm obviously of two minds. That's awesome, but I'm also like I've been burned by the Nintendo Virtual Console. Like, here we are, we're doing it. We'll see you every week, and then like a month from now, they're just like, here's Clue Clue Land for NES. Damn you, Clue Clue Land!
So, I can't remember. Did Metroid Prime Trilogy support the classic controller? Will it work with the gamepad?
So,
I know it had pointer controls and stuff, but I don't remember if classic controls were even an option.
That's a good question, because Metroid Prime 3 never did. Metroid Prime 3 needs pointer controls.
Yeah, it needs a pointer. That's what I was going to ask.
I know they patched pointer controls into 2 and 1,
right.
But I don't know if the trilogy version lets you play in a classic controller for all three of those. I think it does for 1 and 2.
Interesting.
But I don't think it does for 3, because that was never designed like that.
Yeah.
Finally.
Just more questions to be answered.
Finally today, Nintendo announced the upcoming Mario vs. Donkey Kong, which I'm excited for, will be their first cross-buy game.
It's funny that I was just saying, Wii U. I was just saying, I think on last week's Scoop, that it sounds like a 3DS game.
Called it.
Now you can have both. It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
Hopefully that sets a trend for the future, because I feel like they've got to start doing that.
I mean,
and just representing more of a unity between the entire Nintendo network. I mean, even with this, it's not actually going to be like you buy it here and then it appears ready to download here. It's going to be a code they give away. But still, I give them credit for taking that first step.
Yeah, that's a good first step. There was a very definitive moment last year where I went to download
Shovel Knight?
No, I think it was like one of their classic games. Like it was like Link's Awakening or something like that. Or Link Between, Link to the Past, I think. On my 3DS. And I was like, I bought this on my Wii. And I bought this on my Wii U.
Yeah.
And now I have to buy it on my 3DS. And I backed out of the eShop and I said, you're done. Like, cut yourself off of this. Stop giving them $30 for the same game 3 times every year for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
and I walked away.
I mean, I like the idea of, in a perfect world, like a gaming utopia, like this would give people options. Like, I consider Fire Emblem a portable franchise.
Yeah.
Like, that's a 3DS game. It makes sense on the 3DS. But what if I'm at home and I want to play it on my Wii U? Like, why not? Why not just give me that option? Like, why can't most games be cross-buy?
Yeah. Well, so they tried it. Like it was close with Smash, but they did enough between those games to make them feel.
Yeah, all the stages are different. The trophies are different.
Yeah. But the core game is there, and a lot of the modes are the same. I mean, some are different from here and there, but like they argued that they couldn't. There wouldn't be like a cross-buy potential on that one because they were such different SKUs.
I consider them super different. Yeah. I would like to see most Nintendo games, like most games that come to 3DS. Like, why not just give me the option to play it on my Wii U?
Because my theory is they'll give you Fire Emblem on 3DS and they'll give you the Wii U version. It'll have like hats in it or something like that, and they'll be like, "I gotta charge you $60 for that." Sorry.
Yeah.
So, lots of Nintendo announcements today, and in classic Nintendo fashion, some of them are exciting and some are frustrating. Follow me now over to the Xbox One. Here we are.
Okay.
Here we are on Xbox One.
Are you happy now?
Hey, look, I grew up with Nintendo. I have some very fond memories of Nintendo. But, man, I'm like you're even saying, I just some of their business practices and their decisions just...
Yep.
Last year at E3, Microsoft announced a new Xbox One exclusive from Platinum Games called Scalebound. You guys remember this one?
Yep.
This is the debut trailer that they showed. Now, Ken Lobb is a producer at Microsoft Studios, and he's been talking about this game recently. He said, did you hear this quote this week?
Yeah.
He said this game has the potential to be game of all time.
So it's worth pointing out, this is on a podcast, and like in the context of that podcast, he's laughing. Like it's not like this is going to be the game of all time. Like it's kind of jokey in that sense. So just because...
It just seems like a dangerous thing to say, because certainly I wouldn't say this about the GameScoop audience. The GameScoop audience is all a bunch of very cool people. Mm-hmm. However, there is a portion of the gaming audience that I wouldn't call forgiving or reasonable. And like if you say something like this, and then when your game comes out and it actually isn't game of all time, I think some people will remember you saying that and may give you a hard time.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that might have happened before.
Yeah.
I mean, there's almost no way that this quote works out in the game's favor, right? The gameplay is going to be revealed. Is this game of all time worthy gameplay? Like, it's going to follow this game, you know, any time that we actually, the reviews come out, the gameplay trailer comes out.
I mean, it was sort of like, you know, humored hyperbole. I wouldn't really say that this is...
I hope that's how people take it.
I think Damon's onto something, and they didn't. I think a lot of people got mad at it.
Yeah, they couldn't have possibly... I mean, I think Ken Lobb has been around long enough to not pull a Molyneux on this one. Yeah. You know, like, I think that's, you know...
It's like, all he's really saying... Again, he's on a podcast. It's an interview.
It's informal.
All he's saying is, I'm very, very excited. What I'm seeing is shaping up to be awesome. What's crazy about Scalebound is it's trading on the hype of its, you know, developer, you know, Platinum.
Yeah,
so we don't know anything about it.
No, I mean, that trailer looks awesome.
Yeah.
But they just put out Bayonetta 2, which was Game of the Year last year for a lot of people. A lot of people really loved that game.
It's a different team making this game, but same developer.
He also said in another quote he has, sort of hinting at what we can expect from the game. He says, "What does Platinum do well? That's what they're building. What do we, Microsoft Studios, do well? That's what we're adding." So
I think Platinum builds
crazy over the top action.
Climax action.
What does Microsoft add?
That's an interesting question. Like that's
money.
Right.
That's the part of the quote I didn't understand. Is I'm like, I think Microsoft Game Studios makes a lot of excellent high quality games, but they don't have like a thing.
No. At least not as far as the gaming audience is concerned. I think average Joe viewer
online components. Like I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like Nintendo. Sort of has their pedigree of like colorful characters and whimsical art worlds, and Sony has their like hardcore gamer, and then we take weird risks with like quirky Japanese indie games.
Yeah,
Microsoft still hasn't, and I don't. What's it been? How many years has it been since they came with the Xbox brand?
10.
10? Yeah. I mean, they still don't have their like it's a Microsoft game, unless it's Master Chief.
But even
so
that's
there
Bungie.
You go. You just figured it out for us. Master Chief is going to be.
That's your
Master Chief and Scalebound. Confirmed.
Microsoft Game Studios has a spottier record than, you know, first party Nintendo Studios, or I would say even first party Sony Studios.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of MGS games that I love, including, you know, Phantom Dust, like all kinds of stuff, but they are more up and down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know what that means. Maybe it just means like budget and Western sensibilities, right? Like Platinum's games are very Japanese. Yeah. You know, and that turned a lot of people off to like Bayonetta 2. So maybe it's speculation, it's going to be like that kind of over the top crazy third person action, but from a little bit more of a Western perspective.
Or maybe a more widely palatable perspective of some kind.
Sure.
So it won't be the Xbox One's Blue Dragon.
Yeah, sure. That's actually a reasonable.
I would love it if it was the Xbox One's Blue Dragon. That would make me very happy.
Blue Dragon is another spoiler. We're doing a feature on last generation's underrated gems, that you know, games that just didn't get enough attention, and Blue Dragon's one of them.
Yeah, I love that game.
All right, I expect we'll hear more about Scalebound at E3 this year. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Hi, guys. Girls. Dogs.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address gamescoop@ign.com, just like Eric Wallace did. He says, I'm a big fan of the show. Wish it was an hour and a half long. We gotta go to the bathroom.
Why not go a full 24?
Yeah.
Let's just do this.
He says, I have both the PS4 and Xbox One and have since day one. Lately, though, I've not had reason to turn on my PS4. With my Kinect, I can drop out of a game to any app instantly, switch to my TV, between Sunset Overdrive, the Master Chief Collection, some smaller games like Telltale Episodes and Limbo, I haven't had reason to pick up my DualShock. Exclusive content with games like Assassin's Creed Unity, Dragon Age, and Call of Duty will keep me there until the Order 1886 comes out.
Are you reading a press release? This reads like marketing speak.
Basically, I have plenty to play with my all-in-one entertainment system. My question is this. Where are the first-party exclusives that have made me love PlayStation since the 90s? And I know they have indies, and I enjoy them, but I'm not getting my God of Wars, Ratchet & Clanks, Gran Turismos, etc.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sony's had trouble keeping a regular pace of content coming, for sure.
On the first-party front, yeah, but I think they've done a good job of sort of, like, suffocating that. With this shotgun approach of, or masking, I should say. There's enough third party and indie stuff happening up on the platform to make things seem like the party's really busy. But when it comes to first party stuff, like, yeah, it's been a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
Huge disappointment.
I actually put together a handy PS4 exclusive tracker here for you. I gathered every PS4 exclusive coming I could find that has been announced. And note, these are not timed exclusives, these are not console exclusives, not even like PlayStation family exclusives where they're also coming to Vita. These are only PlayStation 4 exclusive games, and I found 23 of them.
Coming, just that have been announced.
Yep. The problem, maybe, that Eric is worried about is that only, not many of them are AAA games, and only two have release dates.
It's also worth pointing out
only
that
two have released it.
Drive Club is actually fixed and working now, but that was, you know, one of their big fall games.
That was
games
meant to be one of the big pillars.
And was a big bust when it launched. You know, so it's like, and The Order looks, you know, again, it's a game I said I'm waiting for the reviews. Maybe it'll be great, but it's looking a little bit shaky, you know, leading into the launch of that game. So it's like you hang your hat on certain things that maybe do or don't pan out. Like, what if Halo didn't turn out to be great? You know, then where would the Xbox have been?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just the nature of how it goes. Like, they have no exclusives, and it's like, well, no, they made some bets that didn't quite pan out.
So The Order 1886 is the next exclusive on the horizon. That's February 20th. And then...
It's so soon.
Yeah. But then March 24th, they've got Bloodborne. And that's a game people are super excited about. Mm-hmm. But that's it for dated exclusives. Now, there are other games we know about. Coming this summer is Until Dawn, which we have gameplay footage of here.
Which one's that again?
That's the horror
kind of choose your own slasher.
Oh, right.
Choose your own adventure.
Hayden Panettiere, who I don't really think that they really captured her look that perfectly.
So this is the one that was originally announced as a PS3 game and then went dark. Like, it was one of those games that you never expect to come back, but then it did come back in a big way and it looks awesome. I remember this now. This is the one where you're like in a slasher movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're kind of making like all those split-second decisions that you're always criticizing the protagonist for not making properly when you watch one of those movies. You're going to be making all those
Or maybe In Cabin in the Woods would be a better example, minus like the final.
Well, I was going to say, if it turns out like Cabin in the Woods, you'll definitely see me on day one playing that.
Oh, yeah.
Like with all the horror tropes, like it's embracing them.
Yeah,
this looks super rad.
And then there are two exclusives coming this fall that we know of. Disgaea 5.
Yeah!
Which I'm super excited for.
Only me and Damon care.
That'll be awesome. And of course, Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Right.
Should be coming this fall. But now, that's it for exclusives that even have a release window. So there's like, whatever, 17 more games here, 18 more games that are just TBA.
Yep.
They include games such as Alienation.
Awesome. Now, I would argue that that is actually a really important title for them,
because following this is Housemarque.
I guess I didn't even realize that some of these games, like, I didn't know that I already forgot the name of it, the horror game.
Until Dawn.
Like, I didn't realize that was a PS4 exclusive. Mm.
This looks like the game that they went into in Wreck-It Ralph.
Housemarque is a big important developer for them.
They're not
physically big, but I mean, this company has not made a bad game yet.
Ever?
I don't think they've ever made a bad game, and that's, I don't want to jinx them, but,
Dead Nation. Look at how rad this looks.
This looks amazing. It's like Dead, obviously from the name, it's like Dead Nation, but with aliens. I think it's going to be super rad.
It really does look rad. I'm not wild about the title.
Alienation.
It sounds really generic, but this game looks awesome. This looks really fun. Just like classic twin stick shooter.
They call it the spiritual successor to Super Stardust.
Oh my goodness gracious.
And really Dead Nation. I mean, I'm surprised they would say
that's
Super Stardust.
That's like the obvious connection
what it is. Is the next in that series, but
Super Stardust. Like, there's not that many developers that can trade on just their reputation.
Yeah, and Housemarque is one of the and especially for being such a relatively small studio, it's impressive that literally they have everyone who knows that studio knows instantly associates that name with quality.
I've probably spent 100 hours playing Super Stardust HD.
Oh, yeah.
That game's so good.
And Resogun. Oh, my God.
Resogun,
oh,
man. Was great, too. You guys remember the movie and TV show Alien Nation?
Yes. With they were all bald, but they had the weird thing.
They got drunk off rotten milk.
Yeah, that was a weird show.
I don't remember that show, but why are most aliens depicted in movies and TV show naked? Humans wear clothes. But aliens always
they were close to aliens.
They were bald, though. Bald is the weird. We don't have the assumption that aliens can grow hair.
Right. They're always bald, and they're often not wearing clothes, just in shows and movies in general.
Isn't that like half a step away from asking why they don't all have like two arms and two legs? I mean, clothes are like a human thing.
It is a weird thing to assume that they can create sophisticated technology that will allow them to travel to distant worlds, but they can't make pants.
Yeah. Why don't they wear pants?
Or maybe they're enlightened beings who know that pants are the worst ever, literally.
Maybe our clothes are keeping us down.
Yeah. That's a fair point. I take my pants off as soon as I get home.
Really? So, I'm in that club, too. Yeah. I'm right with you.
Hate pants.
Capcom has Deep Down.
Right.
Their free-to-play, multiplayer, dungeon crawler RPG.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, it's Dark Souls, but it's free-to-play, and it's multiplayer.
Yeah.
Like, how bizarre. Like, not in a bad way, but I'm super curious to find out how it turns out.
Right.
Because the Capcom logo might as well be a question mark these days.
Capcom?
It's sadly true. I mean, I love that studio. They've created a lot of things that I've loved over there.
They're doing an Assassin's Creed twist.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is this is some Assassin's Creed level of when that game was announced, there were little hints and clues that maybe it had this sci-fi thing. Then that ended up being the entire game. And then Deep Down is super similar in that way. I mean, what makes or breaks this game will be the free-to-play element of it, the free-to-download element of it.
Is that Barrel?
Yeah.
Barrel's confirmed.
Is it going to be exploitive and take advantage of, okay, you know, here's a boost if you want to get through this crazy hard part, or will it be reasonable and fair? You know.
Yeah, so. Imagine how differently people would feel about the brand of difficulty that Dark Souls brings to the table if you could buy your way around it. I think people would feel really manipulated.
That's always the big problem with any free-to-play game. It's like, is this section of the game hard because it's hard, or is it hard because here's where, you know, they want people to start transacting and spending money?
And once that thought enters my mind, that's it, it's over. Like, my experience isn't good anymore, even if it's a question. You know?
So, but if there's no gameplay, you know, maybe it's just going to be like outfits and cosmetic stuff, or, you know, who knows? If they do it right, this could be great.
I am mesmerized at how cool some of those bosses looked.
Oh, yeah.
And this stuff is just bizarre.
That's deep down. There's also, everybody's gone to the Rapture, which looks cool, but we don't know a lot about. But I like what I've seen of that one.
Yeah, it looks to be another, you know, first-person exploration game, you know, probably heavy on.
Dare you say an FPX?
That's a term that I had never heard before and is now everywhere.
FPX.
Yeah. First-person exploration.
Oh, yeah, I actually like that.
Who, do you know where that specifically got coined?
Hell.
Hell.
Yeah. You don't like it?
The Dark. It's a little, you know, it's not terrible. It's a little marketing speaky to me, but, you know.
I want to figure out, someone must have written an article or something, because I'd never heard FPX, and now I've heard it, I think, like 10 times this week.
Yeah, it is kind of blowing up. Maybe it's trending on Twitter or whatever the kids are following.
So is, like, Far Cry 4 an FPX?
That would be a shooter. FPX would be like a game without Gone Home.
Yeah.
Think Gone Home.
Because you explore in Far Cry.
You do.
But you also shoot.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the term is reserved for games.
The ones that don't have combat.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the Gone Home, and now there's all kinds of games like it.
Yeah, Far Cry is technically an FPE.
Dear Esther, games like that.
No, first person elephant riding.
Ah, okay. Got it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
There's Fat Princess Adventures. Another game in the Fat Princess series.
Which is an FPA. Don't laugh at that.
It's really good. I don't know what they're doing with this.
I wrote a preview of it for after I was at the PlayStation PSX Experience. And I gotta say, I'm a little bit concerned. It's kind of like a, you know, co-op action RPG light. Mm-hmm. You know, very. It doesn't have all the same charms I felt that the original had. The art style is kind of different. Everything is shaded in a different way. I don't feel like the colors pop quite in the same way. It doesn't run as silky smooth. But then again, the game is early on in production, so who knows? I felt like the original Fat Princess. Within the realm that it was in this kind of competitive multiplayer realm, it was kind of different and doing some different things.
It had so much personality.
It had so much personality and so many mechanics that made it feel distinct. But I don't feel like, if you didn't tell me this was a Fat Princess game, I feel like it could be any other kind of isometric hack and slash.
That did sort of feel like an afterthought even in that trailer. Yeah. I appreciate like some of the sensibilities and that like sort of claymation art style.
Yeah. But,
I do really like the original Fat Princess art style, probably more.
So. Yeah, I do.
I'm torn.
There's N++, which has been a long time coming.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is it an actual new, brand new sequel, or is it, you know, because there was N+.
Yeah, and I think this is.
I want to point out these graphics are only possible with the power of the PlayStation.
Are we seeing a level creator on
this? Yeah. So there's level design, or this is either how they generate the level, or I assume there'll also be a level design for us too.
So I mean, N+ is an incredible downloadable game. Yeah. I guess I missed
that was for Xbox. Live?
It eventually came to like, you know, handhelds, and it ended up
The original N was like a Flash game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then N+ was originally XBLA and then eventually made its way to other consoles over time.
Yeah. I feel like I played it on DS even.
Yep, that's what I said. It was on the DS. Yeah.
It was a fascinating trailer.
It was so
maybe I didn't pick the best B-roll for this.
But I'm just waiting for him to jump through it. There we go.
But N started the trend of, it certainly wasn't the first game, and you can trace anything back, but like we wouldn't have Super Meat Boy without games like
totally.
N+.
We would not.
Like, it started that trend of like brutal, precise, ultra-hard platforming that like demands 10 seconds of precision.
Dust Force as well.
I'm super pumped. I guess I totally missed it.
Dust Force.
Yeah, I remember that one.
PS4 exclusive on that one. Interesting.
There's a game called Rime, R-I-M-E.
It looks so good. Do you have the Rime trailer?
I did. I ran out of time.
Rime looks so...
Is that the one from the French guy? The French Rayman, guy. The Rayman creator?
No,
it's
I
not
can't.
That one?
I don't think so. I can't.
Michel
Ancel? Yeah.
No.
Okay, no. Rhyme looks like an indie Zelda, basically. Like a gorgeous Zelda game with, like, the trailer is so full of emotion, even though there's no, like, dialogue in it. Just, like, this boy running through these fields. Like, it's terrible for me to try to describe it, but look up the Rhyme trailer.
It's definitely Wind Waker-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really beautiful. Really it struck a lot of the same chords.
It looks really beautiful, and I it's just striking. Like, it stuck with me after I watched it.
Hey, Justin, can they watch that trailer on IGN.com?
Go to IGN.com and search Rhyme in the search box.
I'm gonna do that.
AOL keyword Rhyme.
there's a remake of Shadow of the Beast. Shadow of the Beast is an old, like, early 90s game. I feel like it was on, like, maybe even TurboGrafx-16.
That sounds right.
I'm kind of ashamed that it's not ringing a bell for me.
There's
right
a
now.
Remake of that game coming exclusively to PS4. Watam, W-A-T-T-A-M, is a new game from the Katamari Damacy guy.
Right. That's another really funny trailer.
Yeah. Drawn to Death, which...
Yes, which I played.
It was announced at PlayStation Experience.
Yep, I got to play a good bit of it.
Is that the David Jaffe?
That's Jaffe's new. It's like an arena shooter and totally unhinged. Such a cool art style, and just the way that they even try to weave story into the multiplayer is interesting, because it's not with cutscenes or anything like that. It's just kind of baked into the world. Like you look at things that this boy has written in his notebook, or things that have been drawn in his notebook by other people who are kind of part of his life, and you start to unravel little bits about the drama that's going on in his life.
I didn't realize there was all these story elements.
There's a lot there. When I was talking with David at PSX, I don't want to go into specifics because he doesn't want to spoil things, but there's a lot more gravitas there than you'd think. Like, you can totally just play it like an arena shooter and go around, and if you do that, I mean, the weapons are just totally funky and out there. Like,
we actually haven't said it out loud. The big thing about this game is the whole art style is sketchy, and it looks like a 13-year-old boy's, like, just insane notebook of, like, beasts that make no sense with arms coming out everywhere.
Not just any 13-year-old boy, like an angry one.
Yeah, it looks like that dropped into... That's the video game art style, and what's kind of controversial about the game is I think it's 4 players max.
Oh, it's asymmetrical multiplayer, right?
But it's not asymmetrical, no.
It's class-based.
It is class-based, yeah. Okay. It is class-based, yeah.
But it's got a very, very small character count. Maybe it's like 6, but it's very small. And I'm sure it's like built around that. But I've just seen a lot of people kind of a little bit on the fence because it's not going to be, you know, the 16 players or whatever that people
But each of those characters has so many different unique mechanics to them. And the way those mechanics interact with each other, like, there are characters that are specifically, like, I have a special ability that specifically only does extra damage or stops a special ability of one other character. So team compositions in team games are going to be super big deal. But aside from all the depth,
it might be 4v4.
I think it's cool that there's actually so much story content to kind of wrap your brain around. I think anyone who can remember being like 13 and heartbroken or in love or getting bullied or anything, any of those things, will probably find a little section of that world or one of those levels that makes you go, like, ooh.
No, super cool when I was 13.
What if you were bullied by your love?
That's... That
then
happens,
you were me.
I think that's a Joy Division song.
Really? By your love. Gran Turismo 7 is supposed to arrive either this year or next. You think most likely next? Why are you laughing?
No, because we're all kind of reaching that age where it's like, you know, okay, so you remember Spaceballs?
Yeah.
When they're like, and now we're going to review Rocky 5.
Yeah.
That was it.
And it's like, that's where I feel like we're approaching now. It's like, you know, this is like, 18-year-old us was like, imagine if they have Gran Turismo 4 and like really, like, you know, the numbers.
For me, that was what, like when they, I think it was like Mario Party 10 or something. Like, you stop numbering them.
Yeah, you got to do the colon.
Yeah.
Mario Party, colon, you know,
or you gotta
Wild,
do cool
Wild West.
Fun Island.
Yeah, exactly.
What cool developers are doing now, though, is you just drop the number.
Yeah.
Yeah, just Mario Party.
Just call Mario Party.
it was either at Gamescom last year or TGS, they announced a new Hot Shots Golf.
Yes, that makes me so excited.
That would be awesome.
I love that series.
I can totally play a new Hot Shots Golf.
Yep. So good. It's
that
one of those things where,
really
like,
good.
That's exactly like, I gotta be in the mood for it. Just like, I gotta be in the mood for Thai food. I don't want it every day. But I do enjoy it tremendously. Yeah. I enjoy Hot Shots Golf, but it wears out its welcome, and it's been a few years, and I'm ready for it to come back.
How long has it been since you had Thai food?
It's been a while.
So once I tee off on the first hole of a new Hot Shots, that's it. It's like in the veins.
It's just like the best moment.
I can't stop.
Yeah.
I can't stop.
There's a game called Hunger. I don't know. We're definitely getting into the weeds here.
Yeah.
Oh, no, there's something that... Okay, well, keep going. I'm waiting for you to say something.
Tearaway Unfolded. Mm-hmm. That's a PS4 exclusive, yes. Even though, I mean, it's different enough from the Vita version.
I think a lot of games that people missed on the Vita, so I'm glad that it's getting another chance at life. Supposed to be really charming. A lot of people vouched for it, but, you know, if you don't own a Vita, what are you going to do? So Sony apparently felt the same way. Give that game another shot at the success it deserved.
There's something called Vision Ek. It's one word, intercapped. Vision spelled with a V.
No.
Sequel. I don't know. There's a game called Wild. Maybe that's the game I was thinking of.
No,
which one's Wild?
Anyway.
Should be a great year for PlayStation.
These are PlayStation exclusives coming sometime.
Well, like, there's a lot of these games, you're like tickling my brain because I watched all the PSX trailers and I caught up on that news because I was not working that day.
I skipped one. Did I say The Tomorrow Children?
No.
That's another one. Didn't. That one looks interesting.
It's like, these are games that I vaguely remember like reading about, but then
they like appeared once in their sizzle reel during their E3 indie games montage or whatever. TBA for 2016, two more games. What Remains of Edith Finch?
Right.
Anybody know anything about that one?
They showed a trailer of it. It was in the sizzle reel at PSX.
Is that the Unfinished Swan developer's next game?
Yes, it is. It's their next one.
So they're another, like...
2016 for that one?
Yep.
All right.
Well, we're in 2015 now.
Yeah, I know. That's still we're very early in 2015.
Yeah, this is a long time away.
The story setup sounds very interesting. It's a person returning back to their hometown for a funeral where basically...
That was another PlayStation Experience game?
Yes. Yep. And basically they are the last living... Their family line is cursed and they've all died. Like, they all die these horrible deaths that are kind of unexplained, and she's the last one of her family and she's returning back to her hometown to go to the last funeral and presumably learn more about what this curse is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting something, you know, really clever and sort of heady, and, you know, if Unfinished Swan is any indication, I think, you know, it's definitely one to watch.
Yeah, those guys are geniuses. They're really, really great dudes. I've talked to them on several occasions, and Unfinished Swan, I think, was such a treat. So totally looking forward to that one.
It's a really special game. Yep.
And Without Memory has been announced for 2016.
That one I couldn't tell you anything about, but... What I could tell you something about, and I guess it's not on your list because you said this was only PS4, like just PS4 exclusives, not PlayStation family exclusives, but I was hoping you would mention a game called Helldivers.
Yeah, I'm aware of that one too.
Yeah, because Helldivers looks super sick, and I take every opportunity I can to tell everyone that they should be looking out for that game, because in terms of like multiplayer, co-op, that is going to surprise a lot of people.
It's the business?
Yeah, it is the business. So there's an unbelievable amount of tactical depth and customization there.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, you won't be able to, I promise you.
Okay.
Well, there you go. There you go, Eric. That is 23 exclusives coming to PlayStation 4, only PlayStation 4. True exclusives. Three of them are AAAs coming this year. I know you probably want to get, they probably want a God of War, new God of War. That's probably
It was Uncharted, The Order, and what were the
Bloodborne.
And Bloodborne are the three AAAs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we know that a new God of War is coming. And we know it's been under development for a while at Sony Santa Monica. It just isn't going to be coming this year. We don't have any real solid info on when it's coming.
Prediction. I think this is a good candidate to just be God of War. That'll be it's a good candidate to just get the name God of War.
So otherwise, what's the number? Five,
so,
six.
So they have not. Well, the number would technically, by number of games in the console series.
Do you count the handheld ones?
If you're going by numbers on the console series, it would be, I guess, technically five, because Ascension was the fourth one. But if you go by chronology, they haven't talked about exactly when it's going to fall yet. They've only given us one detail, and that it is absolutely not in any way, shape, or form a prequel. Okay? So we know that. They have confirmed it is not a prequel. But they've also been dodgy when asked about, well, is it a sequel? When does it happen in the timeline? I have a feeling because...
We talked about this. We've talked about this.
You know, after there were some unfortunate layoffs at Sony Santa Monica, there were talks that from Sony that the phrase they used is that sometimes a big franchise just needs a reboot. And they didn't mean it in the literal sense of like, you know, a big franchise needs to be rebooted in the typical sense of the word. They really meant it needs another chance or needs to start fresh, kind of in terms of leadership or direction.
Yeah.
But given how vague they've been about whether or not it's actually a sequel and they've ruled out prequel, I have a strong feeling that it's actually going to be a reboot.
Yeah, I mean, what I would like to see is have them tackle Norse mythology or something else. Like, you can have God of War, you can have, you know, kicking the ass of all these gods without it being Kratos and without it being Greek gods. Mm-hmm. So there's no gods left to kill.
They're all gone.
He's out.
He's got to move on to a different pantheon.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him before he ripped off their heads the first time.
Right.
And then put them back and then
before
rip them off.
Like,
or when he's in high school. No, I don't care. I like your idea a lot. I've never even thought of that. That's a really good idea. Yeah.
Before we go this week, I want to show you this. Toho Studios in Japan released the first teaser poster image for the new Japanese Godzilla film.
Oh, man.
Now, I think this looks cool. However, I will say, you know, it's been 10 years since we've had a Japanese Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Last year, we had the Hollywood one that was a big hit. And I think, like, Godzilla's a very, like, the Japanese have a lot of pride in this thing because it's a worldwide phenomenon that they created, their thing, their monster. So when that was a big hit, they announced Toho would be making a new Japanese Godzilla film, and they wanted to, like, show the world that we can still do Godzilla like no one else. So, but this looks cool, but, like, I could make this. With my own very rudimentary Photoshop skills, like, I could have made this.
Photoshop? Damon, this is MS Paint.
I know.
This is MS Paint.
Maybe it's going to be, like, gritty. Maybe it's going to be, like...
Okay.
Maybe. Like, maybe it'll be the equivalent of, like, The Raid, but Godzilla.
Yeah. I don't know.
Where there's, like, a 50-story building and Godzilla just goes from floor to floor fighting everybody in it? Because I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah. That's not exactly what I meant.
No, but I'm looking. I would still really like to see the Japanese take another swing at the kaiju market, you know, that they kind of...
They
created, really.
Yeah.
They're in a tight spot because they almost can't make it big budget and slick and nice because then that makes comparisons to this Hollywood movie that aren't fair, really, even. You know, they don't need to be made.
Japanese movies, their budget doesn't come anywhere near what Hollywood movies' budget is.
So I think they almost have to take it in like a little bit more personal direction.
Yeah.
Well, you can't put a guy in a suit again. Or can you?
I think
can
you? See, I think maybe go the other way. Just make it really campy. I don't know.
Yep.
That could be fun. Anyway, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Brian. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.